Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of Islam for Mankind and the rest of Allah's creation. It's a pleasure being with you one more time. This is your host for today, Sheikh Saad, calling you directly from the beautiful city of St. Pete. I am the Imam of the Islamic Society of Pinellas County. It is a pleasure and an honor to be with you today to talk about important matters of the religion. Today's topic, as most of you who tune in already know, it is the doors and the whispers of the shaitan, the doors of and the whispers of Satan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and I from the shaitan. I'll start by saying, Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nasta'dih, wa na'udhu billahi ta'ala min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu ta'ala fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Our dear listeners, we are in the middle of very, very special months. These are the three sacred months that are in the lunar calendar, the months that come together, they come in a row. These are the months of Dhul Qa'dah, which is month number 11, Dhul Hijjah, month number 12, and then Muharram, which would be the first month of the new lunar calendar year. And the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala made these months very special. He made them different than the others, and especially in the fact that the good deeds are multiplied in them, and so are the bad deeds. We are in the middle of Dhul Qa'dah, which is the 11th month of the lunar calendar year. It is a month of blessing. It is a month of opportunity for the ones that are willing to go back to their Creator in repentance, and the ones that want to reestablish a relationship with Allah, the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the ones that want to get closer to Him. And the ones that want to take advantage of their time to do more good deeds, to establish their salah, their prayer, to go more to the houses of Allah, to the mosques, to pray more, give more charity, and to seek Allah's forgiveness. And this is extremely important, to use these days as a stepping stone to establish, to reestablish or establish a pattern for the rest of the year. But we also, it's important to know that these seasons, these opportunities can be a witness against a person. It could be a source of sorrow for the ones that are indifferent towards them, the ones that choose to ignore the opportunities that Allah gave them to keep on going in the same daily routine. And the same habits, the same patterns, and all of which revolve around the life of this world, the dunya. Having forgotten that there will be a day of accountability, such a people have let their guards down, and they allowed the shaitan in. They have given him control, and they let him run their lives. And this, inshallah, will be the subject of our talk today. The doors and the whispers of the shaitan. I think we are joined by our dear brother Brother Rashid. Are you there, Brother Rashid? Salaam alaikum. I don't know if the brother can hear me. Brother Rashid, salaam alaikum.
Yeah.
Salaam alaikum, Brother Rashid.
Salaam alaikum.
How are you?
Yeah, salaam alaikum. Yeah, Alhamdulillah. I was enjoying your talk, and this is a great subject, and this is a great month full of blessings. So, inshallah, go ahead and proceed, inshallah, and be listening. And if there is any question,
I'm getting ready to listen for a while.
For those of you join us, you can reach us live at 646-668-2394. That number again is 646-668-2394. 2, 3, line 4. This is your weekly radio program. It's time for my time. What I will honor to have with us, Imam Saslawi. Imam Saslawi, go ahead. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Para nuestros queridos oyentes que hablan español, estamos en el medio de meses muy especiales, los tres meses sagrados en el calendario lunar. Tres meses que vienen en fila, que se llaman Dhulqa'dah, que es el número 11, el mes número 11, y Dhulhijjah, que es el número 12, y el Muharram, que es el primer mes de nuevo año lunar. El Todopoderoso hizo estos meses muy especiales, los hizo diferentes de los demás, y especialmente en el hecho que las buenas acciones, las buenas obras se multiplican en estos meses, y también es de las malas acciones. Estamos en el medio del mes número 11 del año lunar. Es un mes de bendiciones, un mes de oportunidad para aquellos que están dispuestos a regresar a Allah en arrepentimiento, aquellos que quieren restablecer una relación con Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, su creador, y los que quieren acercarse de él, y los que quieren aprovecharse de esos tiempos sagrados muy especiales para hacer más buenas acciones, establecer su salah, venir a la casa de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leer más del libro sagrado, el Corán, y dar más caridad, y también buscar el perdón de su creador, el creador de los cielos y la tierra, y usar y utilizar estos últimos días como un trampolín para establecer un patrón para el resto del año. Pero también dijimos que hay que decir que estas estaciones pueden ser un testimonio contra la persona, una fuente de dolor para los que son indiferentes a ellos, los que optan para ignorar las oportunidades que Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala les da y continúan en la misma rutina diaria, los mismos malos hábitos y los mismos patrones que todos giran alrededor de la dunya, la vida de este mundo. Y los que hacen eso se han olvidado que habrá un día de rendición de cuentas. Tal gente han dejado a sus guardias abajo y permitido al shaitán, Satanás, adentro, y le dieron el control, le dejaron correr su vida, y va a ser el tema de nuestra charla hoy, inshallah ta'ala, que vamos a hablar de las puertas y de los susurros de el shaitán. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the shaitan repeatedly in the Quran. One of the verses that come is from Surah Fatir, which is Surah number 35, and the ayah is number 6. يقول الله عز وجل إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا إنما يدعو حزبه ليكونوا من أصحاب السعير. Translation: verily the shaitan is your enemy, so take him as such. He only invites his party to be among the companions of the blazing fire. But first of all, we have to find out who is a shaitan, or the one that is known in the Bible as Satan. Who is he? What kind of creation is he? And why does he hate us so much? Now, the shaitan, our dear listeners...
Imam said, before you proceed, I have some discussions with some dialogue with some Christians, and some of them, not all of them, they think Satan is a fallen angel. Can you clarify that? Can you shed some light about that? Because, you know,
that was exactly my next point. Yes, I will shed some light on that. So this is why I asked the question, what kind of creation is he? So as our dear brother Rashid mentioned, our friends and our neighbors from the Christians, they tend to think that he's a fallen angel. And I'm here to say and clarify that the angels of Allah, they were created from the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't have it in them to fall whatsoever. They are made to obey, and they remain obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they serve Him from the day that they are created until the day that one of them will blow in the horn and life as we know it will cease to exist. But the shaitan, contrary to that common belief, and it's a belief that even some Muslims fall into, unfortunately, he is from the jinn. And the jinn is a creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created thousands of years before Adam, and they were made to populate the earth. And one of the many proofs, we have a proof from the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is a translation, this is Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we said to the angels, we told the angels to prostrate to Adam, and they all did except for Iblis. Iblis is otherwise known in the Bible as Lucifer, except for Iblis. And this is just to give you the reference, Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18, and the ayah is number 50. So 18:50. We said to the angels, prostrate in front of Adam, and they all did except for Iblis. He was from the jinn, and he transgressed the order of his Lord. So Iblis was originally from the jinn, but he was at first a pious worshipper of his Lord. And as you know, in the case you don't know, Allah created three reasoning creations. The first one is, and all of them are, what they have in common is that the fact that they're able to reason. But what's different is that one of them will not be held accountable on the day of reckoning, and two will. So the ones that are reasoning creatures that will not be held accountable are the angels, because they don't have it in them, as I said, to fall in error. That's why they will not be held accountable for anything on the day of reckoning, as they only do positive and righteous deeds. And two that will be held accountable are the jinn and mankind, because they have both sides. They have good and evil in them, and Allah has given them the choice whether they want to be good or they want to be evil. So Iblis is originally from the jinn, and he was a pious creation. But he was so pious that he was actually allowed in the heavens to worship with the malaika, the angels. But he came to be known as the shaitan after the very, very incident that I mentioned in the ayah, his refusal to prostrate in front of Adam out of vanity and arrogance. And just to make a long story short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam with his own hand, blew the soul in him, and he gave him the knowledge of everything. And he asked and ordered the malaika, and all in presence, the malaika with Iblis was in presence as well, even though he was not from the malaika. He asked everyone to prostrate to Adam. It's a prostration of respect, not a prostration of worship. And they all immediately did what they were told, except for Iblis. He disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why they say vanity is the worst of sins. He did so out of vanity and arrogance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled him from his mercy, from being in the heavens with the angels, where he had dwelled for a long time. And that's why, this is the reason why he hates Adam and his offsprings. And this is the reason why he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him respite, and he swore an oath to mislead as many of the children of Adam as he possibly could. And from that day, he has made it his life mission, and him and his offsprings, to bring as many people and lead as many people to Jahannam, the hellfire, as he possibly could. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hijr, which is 17, and it's from 39 to 43. يقول الله عز وجل قال ربي بما أويتني لأزينن لهم في الأرض ولأغوينهم أجمعين إلا عبادك منهم المخلصين قال هذا صراط علي مستقيم إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان إلا من اتبعك من الغاوين وإن جهنم لموعدهم أجمعين. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, and Iblis said, my Lord, because you have put me in error, you have put me in the situation. Instead of blaming himself, he's blaming Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And this is also from his ignorance. And it's a very dangerous combination to have arrogance with ignorance. And that's what Iblis had. He says, my Lord, because you have put me in error, you will surely I will surely make disobedience attractive to them on earth, meaning to the offsprings of Adam. I will mislead them all, except among them the chosen ones. Allah said, this is a path return to me that is straight. Indeed, my servants, my real servants, you know them, except those who follow you of the deviators. And indeed, hell is the promised place for them. So the question poses itself, how can one creation of Allah do all of this by himself? Well, the answer is he is not by himself. He has generations of his children and children and followers to help him with his work. And para nuestros amigos que hablan español, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dijo en el Corán, verdaderamente el shaitan es su enemigo. Así que tomalo, que tomáislo como tal, como el enemigo. Solo invita a su partido que para estar entre los compañeros del fuego ardiente. Pero en primer lugar, tenemos que saber qué es el shaitán, qué es qué clase de creación es y por qué nos odia tanto, por qué odia los hijos de Adán tanto. Y primero decimos que es el shaitán, que contrariamente a una creencia común que mucha gente tiene, incluso algunos musulmanes desgraciadamente, no es un ángel que ha caído, pero es uno de los genios, es un jinn, que es una creación que Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ha creado miles de años antes de la creación de Adán. Y una de las muchas pruebas que hay es en Surat al-Kahf, que es la Surat 18 y el Ayah 50. Y dijimos a los ángeles prostrados delante de Adán, y todos lo hicieron excepto a Iblis. Él era de los genios y transgredió la orden de su señor. Así que Iblis es que originalmente era un jinn, uno de los genios, y era piadoso, y se le permitió a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morar en los cielos y adorar con los ángeles, los malaika. Y él vino a ser conocido como el shaitán después de este mismo incidente que fue mencionado en el ayah del Corán. Su denegación de prostrarse delante de Adán por vanidad y arrogancia, y para darle la historia del cuento de una manera más corta posible, es que Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cuando ha creado a Adán en sus propias manos y le dio la sabiduría de todo, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordenó a los ángeles y todos en presencia de prostrarse en frente de Adán. Esta es una prostración de respeto, no es una prostración de adoración. Y todos lo hicieron inmediatamente a la excepción de Iblis, ese es el nombre propio del Shaitán, y él no quiso hacerlo por arrogancia, y por eso Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lo expulsó de su misericordia y de estar en los cielos con los ángeles, donde había morado durante mucho tiempo. Y esa es la razón por la cual él odia a Adán y a su descendencia tanto. Y esta es la razón por la cual le pidió a Dios que le dé respiro, vivir hasta el día de juicio final. Y él juró que iba a engañar a tantos hijos de Adán como él pueda. Y desde aquel día, él le ha hecho su misión de su vida y a él y a su descendencia llevar a tanta gente a la Gehenna, a la Jahannam, el infierno, como le sea posible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dijo en Surat al-Hijr, Iblis dijo: Señor, ¿por qué me has engañado? Ciertamente haré la desobediencia atractiva para ellos y en la tierra, y los engañaré a todos, excepto entre ellos tus siervos escogidos. Allah dijo: este es un camino de regreso para mí que es recto. De hecho, mis siervos no tendrás autoridad sobre ellos, excepto aquellos de ellos que te siguen de los desviadores. Y ciertamente el infierno es el lugar prometido para todos ellos. Entonces la pregunta, queridos oyentes, que viene, que es: ¿cómo puede una creación de Allah hacer todo eso solo? Así que la respuesta es que no lo hace solo, sino tiene generaciones de sus hijos, de sus seguidores, que le ayudan con su trabajo. Go ahead, Brother Rashid.
Imam Saad, many, many thanks to you for translating the show into Spanish. I know how difficult it is to do the show both in English and Spanish, so we thank you for that. Really, the people are asking for it, and there is a lot of Spanish listeners that is striving for that knowledge in Spanish, and there is not many shows that does that service. And you spoke about last week about Qarun, and we're going to tie the two shows together. Is it safe to say that Satan and Qarun have one thing in common, which is arrogance and pride? Like Qarun, as you mentioned his story last week, that his pride prevent him, or his pride was boosting about his pride and arrogance, made him forget the role of the wealth, that the wealth was given to him, and that he was boosting and he misused it. And Satan similarly was arrogant. He thought of himself as a better creation, since he was created out of fire and Adam was of that. Can you please further explain if there is such similarities between Qarun and Satan here as far as arrogance go, or anybody for that matter that show arrogance, who think of himself he's better than all the world, he's a bombastic person.
Absolutely, it is absolutely safe to say. Well, first of all, we have to understand that Qarun was misled by the Shaitan. As Qarun, he is from the people of Musa alayhi salam, as Allah Ta'ala said, and it was said that he was actually the cousin of Musa alayhi salam, and he's someone that had knowledge of the scripture, and it was said that he had a great voice and he recited the scriptures with his voice, but Allah tested him and opened the doors of dunya for him and gave him the ability to make a tremendous amount of money. And of course, the shaitan came and took advantage of the weakness that the majority of people have. And this person happened to be even though he knew some of the scripture, but he still had some ignorance. And of course, like you said, he showed real arrogance. And this is something that's why personally I always say in my talks that the test of poverty is a lot easier than test of wealth, because poverty is limiting, so it does not push a person towards arrogance. Whereas when a person is tested with a lot of wealth, then he is very easily pushed towards arrogance, and this is what happened to Qarun. Instead of being humble and being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he showed real ignorance as well when he did not understand the fact that the wealth that he had was in fact from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not from him, not from his own knowledge, but Allah is the creator and the sustainer of this universe, and he's the one that sustains and gives wealth to each person on the face of the earth. And since Qarun did not understand this concept, that made him really an ignorant person. So again, the ignorance and arrogance as a combination is a very dangerous thing. So this is very similar to the situation of the shaitan, Iblis. He had a combination of ignorance and arrogance. Ignorance is showed clearly in the fact that he for some reason thought, because he was made out of fire and Adam was made out of clay, that made him better than Adam. Does he have any proof? Where did he get that from? This is actual ignorance and arrogance in refusing to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. So a combination again of ignorance and arrogance that caused the demise of both the shaitan and Qarun. So definitely something that they have in common. Definitely it is safe to say. So we go back, inshallah ta'ala.
With your permission, inshallah, I'm going to leave, so I'm getting ready to go to work. I'm going to call you again in my way. So inshallah, continue. Jazakumullahu khairan. We thank you for doing the show, both in English and Spanish. Inshallah, will you promise us that the show will continue in the both format? I know that's such a promise. Inshallah, will you be able to do it?
Brother Rashid, the salesman, always putting me on the spot. I will definitely try, inshallah. I will definitely try.
Inshallah.
It just all depends on how much time I have, but I will definitely try, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan.
In the meantime, you have a good day at work, inshallah. Inshallah.
Inshallah. I will call you in a little bit, inshallah. I'm in my way.
Inshallah. Okay. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. So going back, inshallah ta'ala, what is the meaning of the word shaytan? The word shaytan, what is the meaning of it? معنى كلمة الشيطان. And now for our dear listeners that are Arabic speaking, I will give them a little segment here. كلمة الشيطان. الشيطان في لغة العرب مشتق من شاطانا من الفعل شطانا أي بعودة. بعودة عن ماذا؟ بعودة عن الصواب، بعودة عن الحق الذي هو بعيد بطبعه عن طباع البشر، بعيد بفسقه عن كل خير، وبعيد بذلك عن ربه وخالقه تبارك وتعالى. لذلك يطلق هذا الاسم على كل من تمرد من جني أو إنسي أو حتى حيوان، ويقال كذلك شطن أي بعد وعوج والتوى، وهذه كلها صفات مذمومة. So the meaning of شيطان. شيطان in the language of the Arabs comes from the verb shatana. Shatana, we look at the same word in these other languages. We found that it was borrowed, was borrowed from the Arabic language. And mind you, the Arabic language is one of the most ancient languages on the face of the earth. And I will remind you that from the children of Nuh, alayhi salam. Nuh was considered the second Adam, meaning that everyone on the face of the earth today is a child of Nuh, is offspring of Nuh or Prophet Noah, peace be upon him. One of his children is Sam, and one of the children of Sam, or the people that came from Sam, are the people of Prophet Hud, peace be upon him, and they were Arabic speaking people that lived in Arabia. So the verb shatana is from the Arabic language. The Arabic language is one of the most ancient languages known to men. So look at all these words that were borrowed from this verb. In Latin, they say Satan. In Spanish, of course, Satanas. Portuguese, Satanas or Satanias. Italian, Satana. English, Satan. The German language, they say Zatan. And in the Russian, they say Satana, which is spelled with C, Satana. So we notice that the same verb used in the name as the name of this creation of Allah that is the enemy of all mankind. You see them in different languages. So the verb itself means to recede, to be far away. And you might ask, far away from what? Far away from the truth, far away from reason, far away from righteousness, far away from all that is good, and thus far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shatana also means to act and to move in a serpentine way. And it's interesting, subhanAllah, isn't in Christian culture and people that read the Bible, it is mentioned that he came back in the form of a snake or a serpent to whisper to Adam. SubhanAllah, to move in a serpentine way. That's one of the meanings of shatana. And also to be bent and to be warped and bending and leaning away from good and righteousness. So these are some of the meanings of the word shaitan and the verb shatana. Para nuestros amigos que hablan español, en primer lugar tenemos que conocer el significado de la palabra Shaitan o bien Satanás, ¿de dónde viene? ¿Cuál es el significado de Shaitan? Shaitan en el árabe, el idioma de los árabes, proviene del verbo Shatana. Y uno puede ver la misma palabra en estos otros idiomas, cómo se ve que este verbo fue prestado en el latín, en español, portugués, es casi el mismo este verbo que fue prestado, que es Satan, o bien Satanás, o Satan en el inglés, Satan en alemán, este verbo fue prestado e utilizado por el nombre de esta creación, que es el enemigo de todos los seres humanos. Así que observamos en el mismo observamos que el mismo verbo fue utilizado como nombre. Este verbo significa retroceder y estar lejos. Y uno puede preguntar, ¿pero lejos de qué? Lejos de la verdad, lejos de la razón, lejos de la justicia, lejos de todo lo que es bueno y lejos de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, el creador de los cielos y la tierra. Shatara también significa actuar y moverse en una manera serpentina, subhanallah. Nos hace pensar que en la Biblia habla de Satanás que regresó en forma de un serpiente para susurrar a Adán y a Eva, que eran nuestros padres. Y también significa ser doblado, desformado, inclinarse lejos del bien y de la rectitud. So dear listeners, we have to understand something that is very important, and that is that within the general animosity that the shaitan has for the sons of Adam, we have to understand that he has a special animosity, a special hatred for the believing servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus he gives them very special attention. He applies a lot of his time and his resources to try to lead them astray, because they are constantly the ones to get in the way of his plans. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us repeatedly about him in the Quran. And you will find the phrase, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, surely he's a clear enemy, in many places. And you find it in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 168 and Ayah 208. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Ayah 142, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 22, Surah Yusuf, Ayah 5, Surah Al-Qasas, Ayah 15, the Surah Yasin, Ayah 60, and Surah Al-Zukhruf, and Ayah 62. Nuestros queridos oyentes, que tenemos que entender algo muy importante, es que dentro de la animosidad general que el Shaitán, Satanás, tiene por los hijos de Adán, él tiene un odio especial para los creyentes de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Así, les da una atención especial, aplica mucho de su tiempo, de sus recursos para tratar de desviarlos, porque son constantemente los que se interponen en el camino de sus planes. Y es por eso que Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nos advirtió repetidamente acerca de él en el Corán. Vamos a encontrar la frase innahu lakum aduwwun mubin, seguro que es él su claro enemigo en varios lugares en el Corán. Por ejemplo, la Surah Al-Baqarah, el Ayah 168 y 208, en Surah Al-An'am 142, Surah Al-A'raf Ayah 22, Yusuf Ayah 5, Qasas Ayah 15, Yasin Ayah 60, Az-Zukhruf Ayah 62, varios lugares. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dio suficiente advertencia a los creyentes acerca de este claro enemigo, porque tiene diferentes puertas que se llaman en árabe madajil, que él usa para alejar a los creyentes del camino de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, y si ellos lo siguen, seguramente sueltan en esta vida y en la en el más allá también. ونعوذ بالله من ذلك. So our dear listeners, we after knowing who the Shaytan is, who this clear enemy is, we have to know that he, with every son of Adam, there is something called Al-Qareen. And this Qareen is a particular Shaytan. It's not the one that is mentioned in the Quran specifically, but one of his offsprings, one of his helpers, that is a spy, that is assigned specifically for that particular person, each one of the sons of Adam. And he's with you constantly 24/7. He is constantly studying and learning. And you might be asking, what is he studying? What is he learning? The subject of study is you, my friend. He's learning your strengths. He's learning your weaknesses. He's learning what makes you tick. He knows your work. He knows your daily habits. He knows the languages that you speak, your patterns, your mentality, etc. Every single detail about you, because he's constantly there with you. He is comfortably in a position where he sees and he hears everything that you do. And while you cannot see him, and all of that, for one reason, is to use all of this information, as they say, information is power, to use all this information against you to constantly try to lead you astray from the path of righteousness. And how do we know this? Many proofs, but I bring you one from the Quran and from the Sunnah of our Messenger, peace be upon him. قال الله تعالى إنه يراكم هو وقبيله من حيث لا ترونهم إنا جعلنا الشياطين أولياء للذين لا يؤمنون. Allah said he surely sees you, and he's talking about the shaytan or the qareen, the one that is always with you. He surely sees you as well as his host from, or his host or his helpers, from where you do not see them. So he sees you, but you cannot see them, subhanAllah. So this is an advantage that he has, but I will give you, inshallah, a recipe to later on to regain the advantage as well. And hadith that was collected by Ibn Mas'ud, hadith Ibn Mas'ud, الذي أخرجه مسلم, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, ما منكم أحد إلا وقد وكل به قرينه من الجن, وقرينه من الملائكة. قالوا: وإياك يا رسول الله. قال: وإياي، ولكن الله أعانني عليه فأسلم، فلا يأمرني إلا بخير. الحديث was collected by Muslim on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, there is no one of you except that he has an assigned, he has been assigned a qareen from the jinn and a qareen from the malaika. A qareen basically means that a companion, someone that is always with you, someone that is with you all the time. So each one of us has been assigned a qareen from the jinn and a qareen from the malaika, the angels. So the sahaba said, ya Rasulullah, messenger of Allah, even you? He said, even me, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me against him, and he only calls me to righteousness, to do righteous deeds. So entonces después de saber quién es el shaitan, tenemos que saber que con cada hijo de Adán hay un qareen. Y ¿qué significa qareen? Este qareen es un shaitan que se asigna específicamente para cualquier persona. Cualquier persona tiene un qareen que está con él 24 horas, 7 días cada semana, constantemente estudiando y aprendiendo. Y uno, usted puede preguntar, pero ¿estudiando qué? ¿Aprendiendo qué? Usted, lo que pasa es que el tema de sus estudios es usted, sí. Vi usted, sus padres, sus primos, toda su familia, toda la gente, todo el mundo, cada persona, cada hijo de Adán que vive sobre esta tierra es un tema de estudio para su qareen. Y aprende, lo que hace es que aprende sus fortalezas, sus debilidades, y hace lo que le hace mover, lo que le afecta, su trabajo, sus hábitos, sus hábitos cotidianos, los idiomas que habla, sus patrones, su mentalidad, etcétera. Toda la información. Se dice que información es poder, y él hace todo, que tiene toda esta información y lo hace todo cómodamente en una posición donde él lo vea y lo escucha, lo puede oír, mientras que ustedes, nosotros, no lo podemos ver ni oír. Todo eso por una razón: usar toda esta información contra usted para tratar constantemente a llevarlo por el mal camino, llevarlo lejos del camino de rectitud. ¿Y cómo sabemos esto? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala y su mensajero nos dijo. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dijo, él te ve seguramente así como su anfitrión de donde no los ve. O sea que él, el shaitán, Satanás, le puede ver, él y su ejército, le puede ver de un lugar o bien de una dimensión de donde ustedes no lo pueden ver. Y un hadith que fue recogido por Muslim bajo la autoridad de Ibn Mas'ud, el profeta, que la paz de Dios sea con el profeta Muhammad, Mahoma, como dicen los hispanos, pero es Muhammad, dijo que no hay uno de ustedes excepto que le fue asignado un qareen, un consorte, un compañero de los genios, de los jinn, y también un qareen de los malaika, de los ángeles. Y los sahaba, los compañeros del profeta, dijeron, incluso usted, o mensajero de Allah, dijo él, a mí también, incluso yo, pero, o bien excepto que Allah me ayudó contra él, así que solo me anima hacia la rectitud, solo me anima hacia las buenas obras. So we have to understand, our dear listeners, that this enemy of mankind, the Shaitan, has promised to come to the sons of Adam from every direction, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is a translation of the meaning, then I will come, this is the promise of the shaitan, then I will come to them from before them, and from behind them, and from their right, and from their left, and you will not find most of them to be grateful. The shaitan uses the method of, is called at-tadarruj, as we will see in details, inshallah ta'ala. At-tadarruj. The tadarruj is basically to approach things very slowly, step by step. He will gain ground slowly, and every time someone follows him in one thing, he will try to move on to the next thing, to something more severe, more dangerous. He will make the minor sin look like a normal thing, and an act that he will make the minor sins actually look like an act without any consequences, until it piles up on the believer and it destroys his hereafter. Hadith خرج Imam Ahmad عن سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إياكم ومحقرات الذنوب فإنما مثل محقرات الذنوب كمثل قوم نزلوا بطن واد فجاء ذا بعود وذا بعود حتى جمعوا ما أنضجوا به خبزهم وإن محقرات الذنوب متى يؤخذ بها صاحبها تهلكه. It was collected by Imam Ahmad on the authority of Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, beware of minor sins, or that which makes them look insignificant. For so muhaqqirat al-dunub, you look at the sins and you're like tahqiruhum. You don't think much of them, so it makes them look insignificant. He said, beware of those, for verily the example of that is of a people that went down a valley, and each one of them brought his stick until they were able to light a fire and bake their bread. So the accumulation effect, and surely the one that constantly falls into these minor sins, whenever he is held accountable for them, they will destroy him. Na'udhu billah min dalik. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from falling into such thing. Queridos oyentes, tenemos que entender que este enemigo de la humanidad, el Shaitán, ha prometido venir a ellos desde todas las direcciones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dijo, entonces vendré a ellos, delante de ellos y detrás de ellos, de su derecha y a su izquierda, y no encontrarán la mayoría de ellos agradecidos, que no le dan gracias a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Entonces el Shaitan usa un método que es bien conocido y que funciona, el método de tadarruj, como vamos a ver en detalle inshallah, y utiliza este método con los creyentes a tratar de hacer las cosas paso a paso, pasito a pasito, despacito, para que la persona no siente nada. Y así ganar terreno lentamente, y cada vez que alguien le sigue en una cosa, él trata de pasar a la cosa que es más peligrosa, la cosa siguiente, pasito a pasito, y hace que el pecado menor parezca como una cosa normal, que es una cosa de cada día, y actuar que estos pecados menores son actos sin consecuencias hasta que eso se acumula en el creyente, el creyente, y destruye a su más allá, a su ajera. Un hadith que nos viene que es un hadith recogido por el Imam Ahmad bajo la autoridad de Sahel ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. El profeta Muhammad, que la paz de Dios sea con él, dice: tenga cuidado con los pecados menores, o bien de las cosas que hacen que los pecados menores parezcan insignificantes, porque ciertamente el ejemplo de ellos es uno de una gente que bajaron en un valle y cada uno de ellos trajo su palo, un palito de madera, hasta que han podido tener un fuego y cocinar hacer su pan, y seguramente que la persona que constantemente cae en estos pecados o pequeños pecados, cada vez que es cuando se acumulan lo podrán destruir. So what is the methodology for in the next few minutes that we have? We probably have 9 minutes left in our show. What is the methodology of the shaitan? What is his way? What does he do? And I will give you not all of it, but a little preview, and maybe inshallah ta'ala we'll be able to finish it in next week's show. But this methodology, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, he mentioned 6 doors that the shaitan tries to enter from. Number 1, he comes to the believer and tries to get him to commit apostasy. This is the very first one. To disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to commit al-kufr, to deny the existence of any deity, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, he has success. He has been successful with people nowadays, especially the people that are atheists now. And this is no offense to anyone. I mean, our religion teaches us to respect the beliefs of everyone, but we can actually disagree and say something when something is wrong, it is wrong. So, but when he tries that with believers, especially. He tries to get them to commit apostasy and disbelieve in Allah. But since this one rarely works with him and with the believers, he quickly moves on to the second one. And the second one, number 2, since the believer refused to disbelieve and to fall in apostasy, he tries to get him to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through al-bid'ah, innovation. And if the person happens to be... So basically, it's very easy. He will come and tell you, how about you do this act of worship or that act of worship? And these are things that were not done by the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the very definition of al-bid'ah, the innovation. He gets a person to do that, and that will get that person's deeds null and void. So he tries to do that, and if a person, the believer, happens to be strong on the sunnah, then the shaitan fails in this particular category. He moves on to the third one. And the third one, number 3, he tries to get him to fall into major sins. Subhanallah. So first of all, the first one to fall in apostasy, second bid'ah, then number 3, major sin. The believer has a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's protected from that. The shaitan moves on to the fourth one. So basically tries to get a person to fall into those major ones, like committing murder is a major sin in Islam. Falling into fornication is a major sin. Giving false testimony is a major sin, and lying, cheating, all of that. A lot of these are major sins. He tries to get the person to fall into major sin. But if it doesn't work, then he moves on to his fourth option. And his fourth option, and actually I will translate these 3 options with the few minutes that I have. Maybe inshallah ta'ala we will, this is where we'll take the start the show next week, so we can continue inshallah ta'ala la metodología del shaitan. cuál es esta metodología. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, mencionó seis puertas que el shaitán intenta, de las cuales él intenta entrar. La primera es que él viene al cliente y trata de conseguir que cometan apostasía y que dejen de creer en Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Y puesto que esta casi nunca funciona con los creyentes, él pasa rápidamente a la segunda. La segunda, número dos, es puesto que el creyente rechazó de no creer en Allah, él intenta conseguirlo, adorar a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a través de lo que se llama la vida, innovación. Y si la persona pasa a ser fuerte en la sunna, en seguir el camino del profeta, que la paz de Dios sea con él, y el shaitán falla en esta categoría, se mueve bien rápidamente a la tercera. La tercera, que es, él trata de conseguir que la persona, que el creyente, caiga en pecados mayores. Y si el creyente tiene una fuerte conexión con Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, el creador de los cielos y la tierra, está protegido de eso, el shaitán pasa a la cuarta opción. The fourth one, he tries to get the believer to commit minor sins. And to do it repeatedly until it becomes a normal and acceptable thing in his eyes. It becomes an everyday thing, and it sticks with the person. And if he fails to move, he fails in that, he will move on, of course, to the next one. Él trata de lograr que el creyente cometa un pecado menor y los hace repetidamente hasta que se vuelva normal, que sea algo aceptable en los ojos del creyente, y entonces este pecado se queda con la persona, y si falla se mueve hacia abajo hacia la siguiente. So we have 3 minutes. So inshallah ta'ala, this show is that the main reason for it is to warn all of us, to warn myself and to warn the all the believers out there and the sons of Adam, that there is an enemy that is with you every single day, that studies you, that knows your every move. He knows everything that you know. He was there when you had every single one of your memories. So he is well equipped with information to lead you astray, to whisper to you the things the things that you're not supposed to do. So beware of the shaitan. Beware of the shaitan. This is the reason for this show, as I said. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue next week. I'm told that we have only 90 seconds, so we will continue, inshallah ta'ala, speaking about this particular subject, inshallah, la semana que viene, inshallah, vamos a acabar este asunto, este sujeto, para hablar de los peligros de seguir los pasos de Satanás. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away, to protect you and I from the shaitan and his whispers. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you and I from the ones that when they hear the speech, they follow the best of it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.